Let's take a look together again at the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 11 this morning, chapter 11, and it's kind of ending here. He's coming to the end of the list of people that he's going to talk about. Well, he says, by faith, so-and-so did this, and so did that. By faith, they did this. So we look at verse 30. We left at 29 last week, so we're going to be in verse 30. All the way down to verse 40, the end of this chapter. So let's take a look together. We're going to read verses 30 through the first part of verse 35. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. After the people had marched around them for 7 days, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. So we have a list here of different people. As we've been going through the book of Hebrews, one of the themes is perseverance, because they were going through really difficult times, trials, hardships, and they were thinking about giving up, turning away, and going back to what they had been involved in before. And so he writes this whole letter trying to encourage them to stay the course, to persevere. And so he's been going through a list of people who have faced all kinds of hardships, obstacles, and persecution, hardships, and trials. And by faith here in chapter 11, they have overcome those things, and how God has honored them, how God has commended them for their faith and their trust in God. And so we've been talking about faith. So he gives here some other examples of faith, and I'm going to just kind of give you some general things about what they have accomplished through their faith. First thing it says here in verse 33, that through their faith they conquered. They conquered kingdoms. And, of course, at the beginning here, verse 30, we see the Jericho walls falling. There we have Joshua, who was Moses' right-hand man as a young man, walked with Moses and was kind of his, Moses was his mentor. And so when God told Moses that he was not going to enter into the promised land and that Joshua would now take his place. Now, if you can imagine yourself in that kind of situation a little bit, you have someone who has been just like a standout. No one's been as used as amazingly by God in history. It's these miracles that were being done and things that had taken place. They had destroyed Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, and they didn't even have any swords. They had no army. They had nothing, and it just the faith of Moses and obeying God, God did amazing things. And he led the people out of bondage, and they had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and they're about ready to go into the promised land. This is where really the rubber meets the road. They're going to conquer this country. Earlier in that 40 years before, Joshua goes in, they had this confrontation. The 12 spies that came back, 10 of them said, this is a bad idea, and they had no faith. They were filled with fear. But Joshua was one of those who said, no, we can surely do it. God is with us. And if God is with us, we surely can do this. We can conquer this land and take it because God has promised it to us. So 40 years later, he's by himself now. He's in the front. Moses is not there. And what we find in this is that God remains the same. His word remains the same. His power is the same power. The power that was available to Moses is the same power available to Joshua. The promises of God, the word of God that was with Moses is now with Joshua. The same God is with Joshua. Different players have come on to the stage, but it's the same one who's directing the play. And so we see that Joshua, the first thing that happens, if you remember the history of that, the first thing that happens is that they have to get past the Jordan River, which is flooded. It's really impossible. It's impassable at this time of year. And I'm sure that the Canaanites were thinking, we've got a reprieve because they're surely not going to be able to come across with that kind of natural barrier there to stop them, because they'd heard stories. They'd heard about them conquering the Egyptians, conquering the Amorites, conquering the different two kingdoms on the east side of the Jordan, and now they're getting ready to enter into the other side, and they're petrified, but the Jordan's flooded. But guess what happens? What happened with Moses happens with them. The waters part, and they're able to walk on dry ground. This is kind of God telling Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Now, this is the same promise that God gives us. As I was with, I will be with you. Put the name in there. As I was with your fathers, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, as I was with Abraham, as I with, you just name the person that God was with, and the same promise is there for you and for me. As he was with Moses, so will I be with you. And we find that that's part of that that happens there, because when he realizes that God is with him, there's none that can stand against him. And he conquered that promised land. Now, one of the people that was in that land was Rahab, and she is a part of this conquering of the kingdoms. She eventually here heard that story. Well, everybody in the town was petrified. She was curious how she could switch sides. She put everything that she had, her future, in this relationship with this God. She realized that this was the true God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, and that she would be a follower of his. And so she abandoned her country, her people, her culture, and her own past identity, and became a part of the people of God by her faith. And she treated kindly the spies that came into the town and hid them. And if she had been found out, she'd be dead, because she betrayed her people. Yet she was faithful, full of faith, and she survived and prospered. In fact, what's amazing about this is that she became one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. She's one of his line. Through her, Jesus would come. So pretty amazing. Also, we find that they ruled with justice. So we see them, God using them, and by faith they ruled with justice. We see this in Samuel as he ruled the kingdom and followed God's law and taught the people and led the people against their enemies. And then we find David doing the same thing. He was one who ruled the land in justice. And you see a lot of different kings doing the same thing. And so there's a whole record of people that had faith and did this. It says they received what God promised. There's a whole list of people who have been promised things from God, and God answered their prayer and fulfilled his promise to them. You remember that's the reason why Samuel came, his prayer of his mother who had no children, and prayed that God would give her a son, and God answered her prayer and gave her Samuel, and then many other children. So these promises that God made to the people, God would respond to their faith, and they received the promises that he had made. Then we have another one. It says they shut the mouths of lions. Now, guess who that would be? Anybody have any idea who that would be? That's Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel was in a foreign country, in a foreign culture, and yet his faith enabled him to stand and not be, the word doesn't come to my mind. He stayed true. He wasn't co-opted. That's not the good word, but you know what I'm saying. He stayed true to his faith. He stayed true to God, even though there were other religious forces there that were against him. And so we find that he stood true. And God intervened because he trusted God. And when they threw him in the pit, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thought for sure that this servant of his was dead, was a dead man. And he couldn't sleep all night. And eventually, early in the morning, he went down there to check and says, Daniel, are you still alive? Did your God that you serve save you? And I can just hear Daniel going, yep, I'm here. But I am hungry. I would like some breakfast, you know, something like that. I don't know. But, you know, he had faith, and God intervened miraculously. He sent an angel, and the mouths of the lions were shut. I'm sure they were very hungry, but they didn't touch him. Then we find another one. They quenched the flames of fire. Guess who that is? That's the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, right. Those three stood up to the king. And when he had an edict that said, all that hear the trumpet and the sounds of the timbrel, when that goes off, you're to bow down before this huge idol that I've made, and all the satraps or the administrators and rulers of all the different countries that Babylon had conquered were to gather and to bow down before this idol. It was kind of a way to unite the kingdom under his power. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And yet, God intervened in a miraculous way because they had faith in God. And the fire didn't burn them up. In fact, what was said is that their clothes weren't even smoky. And they survived. Why? Because God honored their faith and did a miraculous thing. Then it says they escaped. In battle after battle, God enabled people to win battles against impossible odds. I remember one story in the scriptures where we had one of the kings, Hezekiah, remember him? And the empire of Assyria came down, and they were going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And yet Hezekiah had faith in God, and he put his faith in God. And because of that, the Assyrians came out and said, don't trust this God. Don't listen to your prophets. No God has been able to take and save their people from our king. We have conquered many gods, and your God will be like all the others, and you will not be able to take and save yourselves from the king's army and his hand. And what would he find? Well, that evening, God sent an angel, and 186,000 soldiers were killed in one evening. And they had to go back to Assyria. They couldn't continue on. God did a miraculous, amazing, never heard of miracle. He intervened, and he saved the people. And it says another one, their weakness was turned to strength. And that reminds me that not every person who has faith has strong faith. Your faith may not be really strong at the beginning, but it grows stronger. God will strengthen your faith. And their weakness was turned to strength. Reminds me of the story of Gideon. Gideon was during a time of the judges. The Midianites would raid the Jewish people at harvest time and steal all their crops, all the harvest, so that they would be destitute. And Gideon was hiding out, trying to hide his harvest. And God sent an angel, and the angel said to him, "O mighty warrior." And I can just imagine Gideon going, "Who, me?" Because he responded by saying, "Well, wait a second, no, I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm from a small town and a small tribe, and my family is one of the poorer families, and I'm the last of the litter." And I mean, no, I'm not a mighty warrior. But God saw him differently. He wasn't there yet, but God saw him ahead of time of where he was going to be, where he would take him. And he says, "I want you to trust me." Well, could I have a little test first? Remember that story? He put out a fleece. Now, if this is going to happen, this fleece needs to be wet. Okay. Well, the next morning it's wet. Okay, well, just one more test. To make sure. See, his faith was small. But over time, he conquered the Midians. What? With jars and lanterns. And only 300 against thousands. They routed the Midians and had a slaughter. God did amazing things and took one who had little faith and had it grow until it was strong enough that he had confidence enough in God over a period of time. He had these challenges he put him through so that he became more and more trusting and more confident in God's miraculous power to help him. And the final one here is they received back their dead. They received back their dead. This is a story, two stories found in 1 Kings and in 2 Kings. 1 Kings, we find Elijah was used to bring back the life of the son of the woman he was staying with. And then the second one is in 2 Kings. Elisha, his protege, also brings back to life the son of a woman who he'd helped in the past or who helped him in the past. So these two women had sons that died, and God raised them to life, and they came back to life and were reunited with their mothers. So you see these amazing stories all through the Scripture, and you hear stories all the time of different people that God has done miraculous, amazing things in their lives. He's intervened. He answered their prayer. He fulfilled the promise that he makes to them. He does intervention. They escape disaster. They're not touched by the things that would wipe out somebody else, but God protects them. All these things happen to these people because they had faith in God. But now we go to the second list. It says others here in verse 35. Again, others. Here's the other people who were commended for their faith. Now, here's the point. Faith doesn't always follow this storyline where you have confidence in God, you pray, God answers and does amazing things, and you overcome. You come out on top. Here's some stories that don't follow that storyline. It says, verse 35, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So, the fact is that these people faced disaster and were overcome. They stood with God and were killed. They lost their children and didn't come back. And yet it says, verse 39, these were all commended for their faith. They had faith too. But the story didn't end with a happy ending. It ended a different way. See, God still works this way where he answers prayer, where he intervenes in miraculous ways. He does amazing things and helps us overcome amazing obstacles, you know, where you lose your job and then God helps you to start a new business and it flourishes and you come out on top and you're much better than you ever were in your whole life. Or where you say, God, help me, and your marriage is on the rocks and God takes that marriage and brings it and puts it back together and it's better than ever. God does these amazing things still. Yet, sometimes he doesn't intervene. Sometimes he doesn't show up and deliver you. And you find that these things happen. See, sometimes when you pray that God help save your marriage and it doesn't get saved. Now what do you do? I'd like to go back to that story that we talked about earlier, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, these people were examples of faith. And let me just see if I can find that scripture verse. It's Daniel chapter 3. Would you turn with me to that? Daniel chapter 3. And I want you to hold your finger there. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. See, there are others who are examples of faith, and their faith didn't end the way that you see in these stories, a lot of these stories here in the books of Hebrews 11. In the book of Acts, Peter was thrown in jail. You remember that story? He was thrown in jail, and they were coming together to pray. All the disciples prayed all night that God would deliver him. And what happened? Well, God delivered him. God sent an angel, and Peter thought he was having a dream, and wakes up outside of the prison. And he goes to where the people are praying for him. God delivered him. But in the same period of time, not too many years before this, you have another powerful man of faith, John the Baptist. He's arrested, but he doesn't get delivered. An angel doesn't come and take him out. No, he has his head chopped off, and he dies. Now, what did Jesus say about that man? Well, he had very little faith. If he only had faith, I'm sure that God would have sent an angel and got him out of that. No, he didn't say anything. Like he said, this is one of the greatest prophets in history. He was a man of great faith. But it didn't end that way. It didn't end where you have a happy ending story. Jonathan and David, two men of strong faith. David goes against a giant with a sling and a rock and downs him and kills the giant. An impossible odds. God, he is chased by King Saul and he escapes time after time after time. And who is by his side many times? Jonathan. And Jonathan is saying, I know that God has called you to be king. And let's make an oath together and have a compact together, and we will be loyal to each other and stand by each other. And you find that Jonathan, God used him and strengthened David's faith many times. And yet, this son of the king, who had great faith, was an amazing man, dies in battle against the enemy, the Philistines, who David later conquered. He dies. How many have ever heard of someone named Johnny Erickson? You ever heard of him? Her? She was a young teenager, and she was out swimming with some friends, I guess, and jumped into the lake and hit her head on a rock underneath the water that she didn't see, and she came up paralyzed. She'd broken her neck. And she was paralyzed from the neck down. Devastating. She was a young woman, athletic abilities, and yet she couldn't walk, she couldn't do anything. And some friends of hers came by to encourage her and said, you know what? If you just have faith, God can heal you. Just trust God, have faith in God, and you'll be walking in no time. But if you don't have faith, if you doubt, if you distrust God, you'll never be healed. Yipes. Was she healed? No. Did she believe them? No. Her faith became strong, even though she wasn't healed. Even though God didn't intervene and do a miraculous miracle of healing, yet her faith remained strong in God. Now, we find this kind of faith in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's a point I want to make. Write this down. A faith that doesn't require success, that doesn't need success, is the ultimate success. A faith that doesn't require success, that doesn't need success, is the ultimate success. Now, here's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 16 of chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. End of story. No, that's not the end of the story. He will rescue us from the power of your majesty. Well, that's very, very powerful faith. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. In other words, it doesn't matter if God delivers us or doesn't deliver us. We will never serve your gods. Our faith is that strong. In other words, God doesn't have to follow our agenda. How many of you ever had that time in your life where you had an agenda for God? You ever had those kind of times where you're praying and saying, God, just do this for me? And I'm going to fast. How many had to do that? I fasted. Just drank water. My breath was awful. What was I doing? I was trying to give a little more inspiration, a little more oomph to my prayer. Somehow that would make it so that God would say, you know what, this guy is really sincere. He is really determined. I know he's going to, yeah, let's do it for him. Guess what? Nothing happened. See, God doesn't have to follow our agenda. And that's what these three young Jewish men who had great faith realized, that God, we don't believe in God because he will do what we want him to do for us. We believe in God because he's God. And he can intervene and change everything, or he cannot intervene and not change anything. Doesn't matter. Either way, he's still God and we still serve him. You know, I've heard people sometimes say, come to me and say, you know what, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and God did nothing. And I'm sorry, I just don't believe in him anymore. What happened? God didn't follow their agenda. I asked him to do this and I asked him to do that. In fact, I underlined a verse there that said that's what he will do. And I asked him to do this and he didn't do it. What were they doing? They were telling God that my faith is in my agenda, that you will do what I want you to do. That's where my faith is. I have great confidence that you'll follow my agenda and answer my prayers this way. And when it didn't happen, guess what? Their faith failed. It just vanished. Why? Because it wasn't in God. It was in their agenda. It was in their wantings and their desires. What they had God to do, they wanted to do. Now, here's the thing. That kind of faith, because you see these stories of people having these great success, these overwhelming obstacles, you think that maybe that's the way faith works every time. And you're confused when God doesn't do that. And you're become bitter maybe, or become angry or frustrated or discouraged because God doesn't do it that way. The fact is, that's not what we're talking about. Faith is in God whether he does what you want him to do or not. Now, here's the thing. Life doesn't work this way. Have you noticed that? The world doesn't follow your agenda. Anybody figure that one out yet? The world doesn't follow your agenda. It doesn't always do what's fair. It doesn't always do what's right. Not saying that God is not fair and not right. I'm not trying to make the parallel there. And neither does God have to follow your agenda. The world doesn't follow your agenda. God doesn't follow your agenda. You follow God's agenda. You see, that's the way it works. That's what faith is about, as we follow his agenda of what he wants to do, and he gets to call the shots. He's the one that gets to say, this will happen this way. So if you look at faith this way, you won't make it. If you think that God has to answer your prayers and fulfill what you feel like he should do and is supposed to do or has done for somebody else, guess what? You're not going to make it. You won't persevere. So, verse 35 says, others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. What is the better resurrection here? When the women received their sons back to life, right? They were dead. And Elisha and Elijah laid upon the young man, or one breathed into him, and those young men, life was breathed back into them. They came alive. But guess what? They died again. It wasn't a permanent thing. So what is this better resurrection? It's a permanent resurrection. A permanent resurrection that God has promised all who follow him. And this is what they were waiting for. So here's the thing. These people trusted God. They could face death. Even when they were facing death, they believed that God, their life was in his hands, and if they died, so be it. Why? Because they knew it would come after death. See, they believed that there's something else happening after death, and that thing is the resurrection. They didn't know a whole lot about it or what it meant exactly, all the implications of it, but they knew that this was not the end. There was more to it than that. So, verse 39 says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So how do you get this kind of faith to where if things go as you hope they will, great. If they don't go that way, great. And your faith remains strong. How do you get that kind of faith that perseveres even when things go against you? Well, here's one point. You focus more on relationship than results. You focus more on relationship than results. We love God for who he is, not for what he will do. We love God for what he has done, not because he does what we want done. You imagine having somebody in your life and you have a relationship with them and you're getting kind of serious and you go, I wonder what kind of relationship this is. They say, well, you know, I really love you because I know that you'll do this, 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 and this. Warning, warning. Guess what? You're doing really well. You got a good salary, nice big house, nice car. You're able to take them out to dinner all the time. Money's not a problem. They're handsome. They care about you. Oh, this is good. I love this. Then they lose their job. They get in an accident. They don't look so handsome. Guess what? I don't know what happened to love. It just went somewhere. What happened? They didn't love him. They didn't love that person. They loved what they could do for them. And it was a big mistake. Imagine God, who loves you, and you treat him that way. God, as long as you do something for me that I want done, we're together, we're tight, I love you. But as soon as you say no, I'm going, I don't know if I like you very much. That's the kind of thing we got here. So God has to be the primary thing. Your faith is in him. You focus on the relationship you have with him. Here's an interesting psalm. Psalm 63 and verse 3. David said, your unfailing love is better than life. It's better than life itself. Oh, how I praise you. Your love is better than life. Psalm 73. Verse 25 says this, whom have I in heaven but you? And I desire you more than anything on earth. That's what we're singing that song this morning. One thing. If I have you, I have everything. That's what we're talking about here. That's the faith. That's the kind of faith that will carry you through, that you will be able to persevere, is that you love the person of God. And who he is, not what he does for you. How much of our prayer life is based on God doing this for me? And you have these requests, and you have this prayer list, and you go, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that, and that's all your prayer. Well, that's going to be very old after a while. God is not a short order cook. How about focusing on the relationship when you pray? Instead of seeking his hand, seek his face. Here's another thing to do to help you develop this kind of faith. You look forward to the promise you haven't received. Notice in verse 40 it says, God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. He says in verse 39, he says, yet none of them received what had been promised. They were looking toward that promise. What is this promise that we're looking forward to? It's the resurrection. It's life with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 53 says this, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." Now, the reason why these people that we're talking about in verse 35 onward had such great faith, and the whole reason they were able to be strong, is that they weren't afraid of death. They weren't afraid of death. Why? Because they knew what was going to happen when they die. I mean, you hear sometimes people say, you know, it'd be better for them to die. They're suffering so much, it's just going to be better for them to die. How did they know that? How do they know that it's better to die? Have they talked to someone who's dead before and said, yeah, it's really good over here? Every other religion will tell you, yes, it's better. You know, dying is death after death is just wonderful. We have these stories here about death and after death, and it's a great thing. They all have these stories, and they say, no, it's really good. Death is, after you die, it goes really well. Things are better. And I know a lot of people kind of have that idea, but where did they get such confidence that it's going to be that way? What if it's just something totally opposite of that? It's your worst nightmare. So where do you get this confidence that death is a good thing? Well, for a Christian, we don't just have stories. We have someone who's actually died and come back to life, who has been resurrected and still is alive, who tells us that death will not destroy you. John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26 says this. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Well, she said, "Yes, we do." And a few days later, Jesus dies. But death can't hold him. He comes alive. And he says to us, "You don't have to fear death. I have conquered death. And if you believe in me, even though you die, you shall live. And the life you live will be a resurrected life. A life that you can't even believe how good it is. It's a life you've been waiting for." So when you have that waiting for you, you can take everything from me and I still have everything. Right? That's what faith is about. That's what makes faith strong. Because everything else in life can be taken from you. Whatever you invest yourself in, no matter what it might be, a perfect marriage, a wonderful family, a fantastic job, wealth, you name it, whatever it is, it can be taken. But this life can never be taken from you. It's yours because your faith in Christ, who faced death and overcame it. I want to have us take a minute here to stand as we get ready for communion. Let's have the ushers come forward and get the elements. And can we break up into small groups, maybe of 5 to 10 people, so we can serve you together? Would you do that for me? So you'll have to stand to do that, by the way. You can't do that sitting, I'm sorry. All right? So maybe one side of the aisle be a group of people, and on the other side of the aisle be another group of people, and you come together facing each other, maybe? Just an idea. Or go into the aisle and do a little circle there. So, gentlemen, if you would, serve them. Now, I want you to do this for me, if you would. Get the next slide there, would you? I want you to have just a brief time of prayer. You know, we've been talking about faith. I want you to think about, what is God telling you? What has He put on your heart about faith? And then I want you to communicate to Him what you feel, what you think, what is on your heart about faith. So something like this: Lord, because of what I have learned about faith today, I, and finish that sentence as a time of prayer. And I'm just going to play some music to kind of cover up our chatter here. But can we have the Ableton in the house? And just take a moment. I already got mine. Thank you, Jack. And say, Lord, because of what I have learned about faith today, I, and it could be, I surrender to Your will. I am going to trust You more. I am, and just fill that little space with a prayer. Because of what you've learned today, communicate it back to God. Take that teaching of the scripture and let it fill your mind and your prayer. Go ahead, take a minute and pray. Can you turn it up? Can't hear it at all. Because of what I've learned about faith today, I will never be the same. I will give up my agenda and take on Your agenda. Thank You, Lord. Lord, because of what I've learned about faith today, of what I've learned about faith today, I want to tell You I'm sorry. I've had my own agenda. I haven't trusted You. You weren't enough for me. Thank you.
you, Lord. We put our faith in you. We trust you, Lord. Now the scripture says this: For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us take of the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, when we look at what you gave up, when we look at your life being laid down for us, when we see that your body was broken, was bruised, and you did it willingly so that we could be saved, so that we could have a relationship with you and never have to fear death. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful. We thank you, Lord, for your great love. Now the scripture says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us take of the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Lord, we pray that as we leave here this morning, that our faith would be not in others' things, not our own agenda, not our own wishes, but our faith would be in the living God who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And we put our faith in you, Lord, so that we could be saved. Saved from our sins. Saved from death. With the eternity with you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Go with us now, Lord. May our minds and our hearts be filled with faith, filled with love for you. Help us now, Lord, to focus just more on our relationship with you than what we want from you. May we look to your face, Lord, and not your hand as we pray. May we walk with you, not seek to get something from you. Lord, I know that you will bless us and you love to bless us. You love to do good things. You love to answer prayer. You are still a God who does miracles. But Lord, let us not be having our relationship based on what wish list that you can fulfill for us, but let us be overwhelmed by the great sacrifice of love that you have made for us. And may that motivate us. May that be the center of our walk and our life with you. We pray these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday.
Speak a word, let me hear your voice.